Now I'm going to start again in verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter of Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ, Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for the Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. We stirred up a lot of dust this week, and I have been having some dust allergy issues, so if I keep coughing, I'm not sick. I'm not spraying germs out into the audience. It's well, there was a lot of dust there yesterday, so. And it was still there when we came back and went to bed, so. But Paul is finishing out this epistle. One of the nice things about the book of Romans is that it was not written, Paul's telling us here why he was writing it, it was not written in a corrective way. The book of Romans is sort of, Paul was planning to go to Rome. We see this, and we'll get to that. He was planning to go to Rome, and he had a burden for the folks at Rome. And he felt that he was planning to come. And in sending this letter to them to let them know that he was coming, the Spirit of God moved him to write the fullest exposition of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have in the Scriptures. As far as grace, justification, the relationship to the law, all of the things that we have gone through as we've gone through this. And so he's sending this to let them know that he's coming, but also to write this to them. And he says to them in verse 14, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So he was convinced of them that they were going on well, and that they were doing things the right way, and that they had the right beliefs as well. They were obeying God as far as what they believed, and obeying God in their life. He says, I'm persuaded of this. But he's written more boldly, because of that, he's written more boldly to them. And Paul says in many places in different times, you know, to the weak I am weak, to the strong I am strong. And we see his attitude here in that. He's able to send them something that is the book of Romans is a complex book. It's a really great book. There's a lot of meat there. It's written in a way in some people have said it's a very fine legal argument. Paul takes and brings in the Old Testament and the truths of Scripture and shows what God has in mind for salvation and what God has been doing. And there's some wonderful truth there. And so he feels that these people are able to take it. So he writes it to them. And then the other reason in verse 16 is, well, he feels a certain responsibility to write it to them because he's the apostle for the Gentiles, and these people are mostly Gentiles. And so he feels that God has called him to share the gospel with the Gentiles, and he didn't want to neglect the largest city of the Gentiles at that time and the churches that were there in that city. And so he sends this letter to them. And he discusses here briefly his apostleship. Now we have, particularly in 1 and 2 Corinthians and in the book of Galatians, he has to make defenses of his apostleship because there were people out there that were trying to say that he was less than the other apostles, that he wasn't as good as the other apostles because he wasn't there with the Lord Jesus, all sorts of things that kind of come out through the text, that he has to continually say, yes, I am an apostle. God called me to do this, and my apostleship is exactly the same as these other brothers' apostleships. And it's interesting because when we read Peter, he says, you know, our brother Paul has written some very difficult things which foolish people attempt to twist as they do with the other scriptures. And so the apostle Peter equates the writings of Paul with the other scriptures, which, to me, that says that there's not the other apostles, there wasn't a contention about his apostleship with the other apostles. They believed he was an apostle. And we see that in the book of Acts as well. You know, that Peter and John and the others would go to the Jews and Paul would go to the Gentiles. And there was an agreement there. They all felt that God had done that. And this is what God was doing. And so he, in verse 17, he says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now, Paul, Galatians, says, you know, he's not going to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. But here he says he has something whereof he may glory. And that thing, I think, has to do with the fact that is the cross of Jesus Christ. What he has to glory in is the fact that God has entrusted him with the gospel. And let me just say, as an encouragement to all of us, that God has entrusted us with the gospel. And we can glory in that. It says the light, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God has shined the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ into our hearts. And we have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So we have this, you know, we don't have anything to glory in our salvation, because God saved awful sinful wretches. And each one of us was an awful sinful wretch, and God saved us. But then he handed over to us the ability to hold forth the word of life and to, we're entrusted with the gospel. a treasure to pass on to other people. And so we can glory in that. How can we glory in that? Well, God entrusted that precious gift to people like us. That's a glorious thing. And so Paul has this thing, and he talks about, he says, I'm not going to speak. I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. You know, he doesn't go and make reports about other people's work. Now, I was involved with something once, and we had a trouble because this work that was going forward, there was this other brother that had this very peripheral thing. He would do something once a year, a small donation to this work once a year. But in his prayer letters, he wrote that he was in charge of the ministry. He took credit for what everybody else was doing and God was doing in this ministry, even though he never showed up, never was there, never did anything. So, and people all over the world that he was sending these letters to thought, oh, this is the way to contribute to that ministry, and they were sending money to him, and it wasn't ever getting to the ministry. So there was, it's a scandal. It's a terrible thing. And Paul wasn't doing that. You notice he never reports to these people what Paul or Peter and Apollos were doing. He would just say, this is what I'm doing. Because he wasn't responsible. He didn't have to stand up before God someday and say, well, you know, Peter did this thing wrong. Why did he do it, Paul? It had nothing to do with him. And he understood that. But he says here that God, by mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, this is verse 19, and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And here was his goal. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. Now, I sort of puzzled about what was he trying to say. He said he was hindered from coming to them because he had been given this ministry to do. And I think that Paul took very seriously what he was doing, that God had specifically called him to these areas where he had gone. And he felt that he wanted to discharge that completely before he moved on to somewhere else. And when we look at, I listened to the book of Acts. I had a day where I was in the car a lot on Friday, which was very nice because I had a big day on Saturday and I didn't wear myself out at work on Friday, which was nice. But we read about the thoroughness of Paul in his missionary journeys. He would go to one city and he would preach until either the Lord let him go to another city, he was led to go to another city, or they tried to kill him and he had to leave, or there was an uproar made. He would go and stay there until it was clear that the Lord had sent him on. And so when he says here, he says that the hindrance from coming to them was that he's striving to preach. It seems to me, 20, 21, and 22, he says, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel. And in verse 19, he says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as is, it was written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you. It seems to me that what he is saying there is that he didn't feel that he could come to them until he had managed to evangelize the areas where he was, so that the gospel had gotten out to as many people as he could get it to in that area. That's my understanding of this, his explanation of why he hadn't come to Rome yet. Now, it's interesting, when I read in the book of Acts, and in 19, this is talking about Paul. In verse 19, it talks about these people who had practiced some sort of witchcraft, burning their books. And then it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So it was doing really well. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So I sort of think we know that we believe that the book of Romans was written from Ephesus, or Corinth, actually, rather Corinth. They think it was written from Corinth. But he's in Ephesus, and it seems like here in Ephesus, he starts to have this thought in the book of Acts, chapter 19, that he should go to Rome, that the Lord was calling him to go to Rome. And so it's interesting to see, and I believe that the Lord had laid on Paul's heart to go to Rome. And he makes some plans here, and he discusses these plans in his letter with the people in Rome. Here was what he was thinking about going to Rome. And it's interesting to me that it didn't work out this way. When he went to Jerusalem, we read the book of Acts, he was arrested. And all kinds of things happened. But we read, one of the things that I read in, when I was listening to, rather, in the end of the book of Acts, there was this sureness that Paul had that he was going to get to Rome. Even when they were in the shipwreck, remember the story of the shipwreck? He said, you know, I'm going to get to Rome. He says that. So what I see here is sort of interesting to me. I thought a lot about this. Paul made these plans. He was thinking he was going to go to Spain, and he wanted to stop in Rome on the way to Spain. So he made these plans, and he even discussed them in this letter. Here's what I'm thinking. It did not work out that way. Was Paul wrong to attempt to plan to do what the Lord had laid on his heart to do? No. No, Paul, the Lord gave him a vision to go to Rome. Didn't tell him how he was going to get there. And I think that's something that's interesting, that when the Lord gives us a vision to do something, we should start to make plans to try to do it somehow. Knowing that God is going to get us, if the Lord's really laid it on us, God's going to work it out till we get there, as long as we're faithful to obey Him. But there's nothing wrong with saying, well, maybe this would be the way that it would happen. And that seems to me what Paul is writing here. You know, I feel this need. I've wanted to come to you for a long time. But I haven't been able to do it because I had this mission to reach these other people that had not ever been reached before. But now that I feel like that has been accomplished, that's sort of what I'm getting from this. And one of the things that, you know, I've read this in different translations, and it's sort of kind of what I've pieced together is what he's trying to say. This passage about having no more place in these parts, if you read the reactions and the responses of the believers, especially when he goes and stops and visits Ephesus on the way to back to Macedonia to get the money to go to Jerusalem, Those folks in Ephesus would have really liked, I think you can tell by their response to him, the weeping that he was leaving. I think they would have they would have been happy for Paul to just retire and stay in Ephesus for the rest of his life because they loved him. But the Lord had given him some place to go, and he felt like the Lord wanted him to get to Rome. And you see this, in the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, the life of the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and everything that he said actually happened the way it did. But you see that in the end of his ministry here on earth, there are things that the disciples get puzzled about. There's a place in Samaria that they don't want to receive him because his face is set for Jerusalem. And there's a desire to do what the Lord has laid on him to do in the Lord Jesus. And we see this in Paul too. The Lord has given, seems to me, from this and from when you read the end of the book of Acts, there's this go to Rome, you're going to Rome, you're going to Rome, you're going to Rome. And there are these prophecies that some have said, well, he disobeyed the prophecies. But when you read it and you really look at it, there are people that are telling him, look, the Holy Spirit has said this is what will happen if you go. And they try, the saints try to persuade him not to go. But in all of those prophecies, there's never the Holy Spirit is saying not to go. It's just a warning, here's what will happen if you do go. There's some, you know, I wouldn't be dogmatic about that. There's a lot of, we read one commentary and then another. These people have different opinions about should he have gone to Jerusalem. But, you know, he had started this offering. We talk about this offering. The folks in these churches had a debt of gratitude toward the apostles and the saints who were in Jerusalem. The gospel had started there and had come out into the rest of the world. And now these people were stricken with poverty. They were, you know, pilgrims and strangers in their own country. A lot of them, and they needed help. And I don't want to touch on all of that, but it's throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians where he talks about, Corinth was in Achaia, and that's when he talks about the folks in Macedonia, the Philippians, and the Corinthians basically are the two that he's talking about making this contribution toward the people in Rome. It says they're poor saints. And he points out that the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is to minister to them in carnal things. And so he's got this to do. And he could have probably sent the money with someone else if he wanted to avoid being arrested. But it sounds to me from what you read in 1st and 2nd Corinthians that these people had come up with this idea, maybe at his prompting, maybe not. But they were entrusting this money, and it sounds like it was a large sum of money, to him to get to Jerusalem. And he was going to undertake to do that. So it's interesting, in verse 28, he says, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. He's talking about, he felt at this time that he would be able to take this contribution to Jerusalem and give it to the saints there. And he calls it their fruit. These people had done something physical. They'd done a physical blessing for someone that they were spiritually connected to, someone they'd received spiritual benefit for. And God calls this, by Paul, sealing to them their fruit. We read in Philippians when Paul writes to them that he the saints in Philippi had given in there out of great poverty, and to him, to help him. But this was something that Paul took very seriously. They gave this money to him to get it to the saints. So when he says this about that, he was planning to go into Spain. Now, there's some traditions, things have written, extra-biblical things that suggest that he did eventually make it into Spain, but we don't have any anything in the Bible that tells us one way or another. Acts just sort of stops while he's waiting for his trial in his own hired house, and it just sort of stops. And we don't know what happens after that from the Bible. And there's some things that we can pick out of some of the later epistles that give us some clues about where he went, but it's hard. We can't really say for certain that he made it to Spain, but he wanted to go there. And this is verse 29. He says, "I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." I think that he was really looking forward to going there. Now, I'm reminded of our brother Wade, and I'm sure I don't mind, think he'd mind me talking about him, but his desire to go and preach the gospel. And Paul had that same thing. And he says, when I come to them, he believes that it's going to be in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That it would be a blessing for the saints and it would be a blessing to the sinners. It would be fullness of blessing. Now, he didn't come in the way that he thought he would. He came under arrest. And yet, it was what God allowed. Not only what God allowed, but it was what God wanted, I think. It seems that way from the book of Acts. This is how God got him to Rome. And and then he asks in verse 30, he beseeches them, "For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Now this is interesting. Verse 31, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." So he understood that there was a problem with those that did not believe in Judea. He understood that there was hatred for him there and hatred for what they called that way. And so he asked them to pray for that. And we see that the answer that God gave was contrary to what he was praying for. We realize that sometimes we see something that is a concern to us and we pray to avoid it. And God doesn't allow that to happen. And Paul, I don't think Paul was wrong to pray for that. Now, in a way, he was delivered from them that didn't believe in Judea. You remember the story in the book of Acts where he was arrested and 40 men bound themselves together with an oath not to eat and drink until they would kill him? And then they tried to get the Romans to bring him down to a little trial in which they were going to ambush him. Did that happen? No. What happened? Well, Paul's nephew happened to hear them. Or someone heard them and told him. Doesn't say how he heard it, but it came to the ears of Paul's nephew. Sounds like he was a youngish person. And he comes and tells Paul, and Paul sends him to the chief captain, and the chief captain delivers Paul from them which do not believe. Now, I'm sure this is not what Paul was thinking when he prayed for this. What I think Paul was thinking was that he could get there, deliver the money, have some time of sweet fellowship with the saints in the assembly at there, and then turn around and leave and not have any problems. Maybe slide under the radar and not even have them not even know he was there. What is interesting to me is that when we read in the book of Rome, Acts, when he was captured, he was given a public forum in front of the leaders of the nation of Israel on four separate occasions, that it may have been more than that, in which he presented them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very clearly. And each time they rejected it. And it was not too many years later, relatively speaking, that they were destroyed. They rebelled against Rome and were destroyed, and the nation was taken away from its land. And it's interesting to me that Paul had this idea, I'm gonna sneak in with this money, hand it over, turn around and come back and go visit you guys in Rome and go to Spain. That's what he was thinking. Now, he didn't know all the details. He didn't know what God had laid out for him. But it's interesting to me that he made this plan based on his desire that he felt God had given him. I believe he felt that God had given him this desire to go to Rome. That comes out in the book of Acts. It really strongly comes out that he must go to Rome. I must needs go to Rome. He says it several times. And the way he gets there, not only does he talk to the Jewish leadership, but he gets to talk to the chief captain, share his faith with the chief captain. He's able to share his faith with Festus, Felix, Herod, and all of the Sanhedrin on multiple occasions. So it's interesting that his arrest, not what he was planning, was it at all? His arrest brought him right into the throne room and the basically Senate. And he was able to declare the gospel to these people. So he received great persecution, but he had great opportunity in that persecution. And he was not expecting that. And he was expecting to be delivered probably and not be bothered by these people. But the prayer didn't go the way he was thinking it would, but he was delivered from them. Now, it seems like in a couple of occasions he was delivered just by the skin of his teeth. They were about to pull him to pieces when he was initially arrested. I mean, it sounds like the Romans got there in the nick of time. And yet, we see the hand of God in that. And the thing that I have in this is that when you pray for things, the Lord puts something on your heart that you're going to do it. And if you encounter what seems to be a setback, don't be discouraged. If God is leading you to do something, and you're sure that He's leading you to do something, He's laid it on your heart to do it, and you encounter a setback, when God laid whatever it was you were supposed to do on his heart, did he know about what would seem like a setback coming down the road? God knows all things. He knows the path that you're going to take. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. So God knows what you're going to encounter after he's given you this thing to do. Don't be discouraged. Continue to wait on the Lord. And I encourage you, read the book of Acts. You know, I was listening to it. It's different to listen to it than it is to read it. If you can get yourself an MP3 player or the CDs or something and listen to it, and particularly for you younger people, if you don't like the King James Version, there are some very fine modern translations that are faithful to the Word, but that are in language that's a little better for younger people. Listen to the book of Acts. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful. You need to listen to that. You need to read that. But the book of Acts, my goodness, you read that and you see what God the Spirit can do through God's people. People who are devoted and given over to the Lord to do His will. Now, this is a really exciting thing. And the same God. It's the same God that we serve. Now, there are some differences in operation. I think that, you know, the apostles, they were a special class of people. We're not apostles today. I'll make some caveats there. But God works through His people. And we can glory in that gospel that's given to us in the same way that Paul did. And God also, I believe, gives people a vision of things to do. Maybe you're through the reading of the Scriptures, or the Lord gives you a desire to see certain people saved in a certain area. Now, we know people that, you know, we talk to people all the time that have gone out to the mission field. And there's usually a very clear something from God, a burden on their heart for those people in that particular place. And God does that. And we see examples of it in the book of Acts. It's different for everybody. But we can be submitted to the will of the Lord, and He can guide us and lead us. And if He guides you and leads you, and you encounter something that's contrary to what your plan was to get whatever it was done that God wanted you to do, don't be discouraged. Also, don't give up on the goal. Maybe that God will get you there in a different way. We see that happening with Paul. I don't think he was wanting to be arrested. Does anyone really want to be arrested? I don't want to be. I never want to be arrested. But it may be in this country, if we stand up for the gospel, it may be unrighteous for us to be outside of jail at some point in this country, the way things are going. That's just a thought that I have. I'm not stating that. I'm not making a prophecy or anything silly like that. But what I am saying is that Paul was arrested for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the fact that he was teaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if that were an arresting offense, well, hallelujah. So be it. And that's what Paul, he was arrested. And he got all the way, it doesn't tell us about it in the book of Acts, but history tells us that he was able to speak to two separate emperors. Two separate emperors. And share the gospel with them. Now, it didn't work for Nero. That was an ungodly man. But Paul thought he was just going to make this trip and come and visit them and stay for a while and have several, you know, probably a couple of weeks of meetings or months of meetings or maybe a year and then head off to Spain. That's what he was thinking. God had laid Rome on his heart, and he got to Rome. He got there in a completely different way than he was thinking. And along the way, God put him in front of people, put him in front of the movers and the shakers in the world of his time, and he was able to clearly explain the gospel to them. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say that any of those people trusted Christ. But one of the things that it says in each of those times, it says that he was brought to the court of these people, and there were lots of other people around. And it doesn't say who those people were. It talks about, you know, he sat on his throne. They you know, there were people there. They're referenced, you know. And those people heard the gospel, and they heard it at the highest levels of power. And God did that. It's a wonderful thing. And he asked that the service would be accepted for Jerusalem. And then he says that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Well, that is how it happened. He came and there was joy. And he came by the will of God. Now, the will of God was not what he was anticipating, I don't think. However, he commits everything that he's doing and says he's coming by the will of God. We read in James, you know, you make plans and you say, tomorrow we're going to go to this city and trade and then come back. And you don't know what your life is. Your life's a vapor. You've got no control over it. And so Paul makes these plans, but here he commits them to the will of the Lord. And then he says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So we're going to conclude this section. You can learn a lot from the life of Paul. Learn a lot from the life of all of these people. They were devoted and dedicated to the Lord, and they obeyed the Lord to the best of their ability. And it shows us things about the Christian life and things about serving God. So we're going to close in prayer now for this time, and then we'll come back in a few minutes. And it's an interesting list of believers in Christ here that we don't really know anything about, most of them, but except for what Paul says about them. And God obviously wanted us to know about something about these because we believe that all Scripture is given, and this has been included. So we can learn some things about these people, and we'll do that in the next session. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us. We pray that you continue to lead us and guide us as we finish this book. In Jesus' name, amen.